AM 560, The Answer. Prepare to have your mind opened. The lies of the mainstream media are about to be exposed, and the hypocrisy of the left is about to be revealed. You've tuned into Black and Right. This is a revolution in how you think about politics, race, and culture. And leading that revolution are your hosts, Charles Love and John Anthony.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Black and Right. I am Charles. John is off today. We're going to have fun today, have an interesting show, talk about a lot of topics. And I have a theme, kind of a question of the day. I want you to give us a call at 312-642-5600 and tell me what you think thus far. Lori Lightfoot as mayor, her actions and her performance. What politician do you think she is most emulating? I have an idea and a suggestion on that. And at the top of the second hour, I'll let you know. But give me a call and let me know what your guess may be of who I think that is. 312-642-5600. But first, as we tackle the news of the day and of the week, we have to talk about the biggest topic yet again. As much as I lament the fact that I continue to talk about Trump, this is actual big news this week. The impeachment vote went through and Trump was impeached and on two counts, abuse of power and obstruction. And I'll give you my very short, sweet summary of the my idea of the impeachment. But first, I want to talk about the abuse of power, talk about each reason why the push for impeachment went through. And the biggest one was the abuse of power. And most of it surrounded the Ukraine and the phone call. And as I've said before, I find it interesting, not because, you know, they make it easy for me, I guess. I don't have to get into right or wrong and whether I think what Trump did was right or wrong. And if it's wrong, whether it rises to the level of an impeachable offense. I want, like I've always called, people to be honest. I know the Trump supporters are going to support him, and the people who hated him before he got in office and felt he needed to be impeached are going to stick with that because they didn't have a reason and they thought that. But to the rest of us who kind of like him, kind of doesn't like him, want to be fair and think about and just be honest with ourselves, the question really shouldn't be what did he do? You should ask yourself what he did, but it shouldn't be what did he do and does that rise to the level of impeachment? It's all precedents, right? So I think you should look at what he did and compare it to other presidents and how Congress reacted to those reactions. And over the past couple of weeks, I talked about it briefly, mostly going back in history and talking about early presidents, presidents from the beginning, talking about the 19th century. But I think it's most important to talk about the most recent presidents, because many of the people leading the charge in the House have been there for years, and in Congress, I mean, in Senate, if it goes there, have been there for years, 20, 30, some close to 40 years. So they've been around and in the capacity they're in for at least four presidents. So the question has to be, what did they do when presidents stepped out of line in the past? So you take this call, however it's interpreted. I always talk about giving people their argument. So you have to take Trump's call and assume it was exactly as those who are trying to impeach him intended. Don't take the pro-Trump side and say, well, that's not what he meant. Assume it's right. So he was withholding aid deliberately to get something which would benefit him politically. So that is the charge. And in that, he's abusing his power. So you have to ask yourself, go back to Obama and say, take that act and measure it against some of the things that Obama did. And do the same for Bush and for Clinton and for Bush. And say, should they have been impeached? Or what was the reaction when they did those things? So, you know, Obama, if you recall, I know it's so long ago, but Obama had problems with surveillance. many people, because he's so popular, you know, the most admired man in the country for the last, what, 11 years running. People forget that he ran saying he was going to be transparent. And then no less than the Washington Post ran articles about how he is the least transparent president in modern history. We forget that. We also forget that he kind of played favoritism against certain journalists. And then there's the big surveillance thing, you know, the WikiLeaks and Julian Assange and all that kind of stuff. All that came about from him leaking the fact and having whistleblowers mention that the Obama administration was surveilling citizens against the law. So is violating the FISA court worse, less, or equal to what Trump is being charged with? Because no one talked about impeaching Obama. Even Republicans didn't. He also had, you know, you can say he disregarded federal laws when he said, we're going to, he took prosecutorial judgment to a new high and just decided we're just not going to do this. But he also pushed for DACA and DAPA. Now, DACA somehow became the law of the land, but even the courts pushed back on DAPA, so we forget about that. But DACA was supposed to include the parents. Was that an abuse of power? You go to Bush being accused of war crimes, Bush also violating the FISA Act of 1978. The question with that is, did Bush's actions, you know, he was hated, you know, Bush lied, people died. But no one, you know, in the House went as far as impeaching him. So that's the true test, right? The great Alan Dershowitz, who's a liberal, but he tries to be fair, calls it his shoe on the other foot test, right? If you're doing my guy like this, or if I'm doing your guy like this, what would I do if the shoe were on the other foot? And you have to ask yourself this, right? You have to say if... Because not, you don't even have to say that, because in the Bush case, Bush was a Republican. Democrats didn't like him. These same Democrats, Maxine Waters, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, you know, all these people, Dick Durbin, they were all still going to send it in the House. They hated Bush. Bush violated the FISA Act. Bush was, you know, going to war unconstitutionally, but they didn't try to impeach him. So why Trump? So, but then you can go with Clinton. Now, you can say, some detractors will say, well, you can't use Clinton as an example because Clinton was impeached. I'll get to that in a moment. But these people who are leading the charge for impeachment did not try to impeach him. So that is still a little bit different. So you have to say, does it rise to the level? Tom from the South Side is on the line here, and he has a thought on Obama. Tom, welcome to Black and Right.
Yeah, basically, presidents have a big stick, and they should have a little leeway. And although I didn't agree with the policy, Obama did it a number of times. Egregiously, you can look at Honduras. I don't know the total details, but Colombia, it was $500 million. They had just fought a war against the cartels, FARC, which was really totally funded by drugs and Castro, and he held that money going forward. They couldn't prosecute FARC, and they had to accept them into their government. And now, how big of a quid pro quo is that?
Right.
You know, that, I mean, that's factual. That was my thing, was I totally disagreed, but I think aid should be tied to quid pro quos.
Right. You know? Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Tom. You make a good point. I appreciate that. And you're right that he's not the only one that's done it. I mean, we know that Biden's on tape saying the same thing, but it's not just that. It's the FISA court. It's surveillance. It's Fast and Furious. But it's not just Obama. As a conservative, you don't want to say you're just attacking Obama. It's Bush's actions. It's Clinton's actions. It's George H.W. They've all done it. I've argued for a couple weeks here that is just how the sausage is made. And unless you want to change it, I'm not even saying, like Tom, that I agree with it. But what I am saying is you can't pick and choose when it's okay and say, when that guy does it, we're not going to do anything. And when this guy does it, it's the worst thing that ever happens. That's part of the problem. So that's why I say we spend too much time trying to argue whether it's right or wrong and not how we treat people and is it equal and is it fair across the board? So a quick summation of what I believe is that I think that it's a sham impeachment, that they're making a mockery of the abilities of what the Congress should do, and it's a travesty that they did it. Woody Allen put it better than I did.
It's a travesty of a mockery of a sham of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
That is exactly what it is. Coming up, we'll talk more. You're listening to Black and Right on AM 560, The Answer.
This is Black and Right on AM 560 with John Anthony and Charles Love.
Welcome back to Black and Right on AM 560, The Answer. We left talking about impeachment and Trump and Woody Allen's great words about this being, let me see if I can do it. This is a travesty of a mockery of a sham of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham. That's what it is. Not bad, right? That's what it is. But the funny thing is, what we need to talk about is what now? What does it mean? We see the talk about Pelosi trying to figure out what she wants to do, if she wants to hold on to the articles, when and if she'll send it to the Senate. But it's amazing. I was telling someone earlier that it was funny how little people know about the process. And I had somebody come up to me and say, hey, so what do you think happened? I was like, oh, he's going to get impeached. And they were shocked. And they were like, oh, my God. So what do you think is that's going to mean for the 2020 election, or, you know, with somebody else being in the White House, whatever? I said, what do you mean? He's not going anywhere. They're like, oh, why? And I explained. They said, oh, that's kind of silly. And this is someone who didn't like Trump. And they said, that's kind of silly. But hey, at least he won't be on the ballot in 2020. I'm like, no, he can still run. And then they pivoted at that moment. And they said, well, what is this thing? This is just silly. What's the point of doing it? So they're not removing him from office and he can still run. So they're just wasting our time and money. It's like, you are finally starting to get it. It is. I don't hear many people saying this. And I, you know, I can say my opinion all the time. And I, you know, sometimes you can be proven right or wrong, but there's no way to prove this one. But I honestly think that they wouldn't have done it if they had the Senate. This was a political move. They did it so they can go to the, like you talk about the red meat, so they can go to the people who have been screaming at the moon since Trump was elected and say, look, we did what you wanted to do. We waited a while to make sure we had a good reason. We impeached him. We did our part. It's not our fault we can't remove him because, you know, because we don't control the Senate. Maybe even hope that it'll help them get some votes in the Senate. Say, see, if only we had the Senate. But if they had both houses, they would not want to do that. And this is why I say that. I can't prove it, but this is why. Because as I'm talking about here, I say, what does this mean? We need to look at both. What does this mean for his presidency going forward? And what does it mean for the 2020 election? Both sides are jockeying, trying to see, spin it as a positive, right? But life still goes on. He's still president. He's still in the White House. Nancy Pelosi just invited him, extended the annual invitation for him to do the State of the Union. So why? She just impeached him. You shouldn't be here. You know, so she still invited him, right? So he's going to go and he's going to give that speech. So that shows that she knows that it was all just political and it's not going to have any impact. And it'd be interesting to see what he says, even though I won't hear because I don't listen to the man. But if I were Trump, I would get up there and I would talk about it. I would say, but not in his way, but it'd be more creative. I would say something about, you know, I'm watching the news and apparently I've been impeached. And all over the mainstream media, they're saying it's historic. It's historic impeachment. I was like, I don't know if it's historic, if it was the first person to be historic, but third, you know, it's rare. I give you rare, but I don't know about historic. But I will say my impeachment is historic for one reason. It is historic because I'm the third president to be impeached, but I'm the first one to be impeached by one party. So think about that. Not Clinton, not Andrew Johnson, only me have been impeached because only my opponents made it a political act and came into the House and just decided I shouldn't be president anymore. So that's historic, all right. It is bad for the country. And I find it interesting that I'm being impeached for abuse of power when technically aren't the guys who are impeaching me one-sidedly when they claim that they would only do it if it was bipartisan, aren't they abusing their power? That is how he should frame that. But there's also the piece about 2020 and where this will go. Will it help? Will it hurt? It could go either way, depending on how they play it. I'm sure, like I said, the Democrats are trying to use it to get people to remove Republican senators. So, hey, if only we had the Senate, he'd be gone. Republicans will use it to say, look at how unfair they are. This is why you need to come in and do what you can to keep him in office, to prove that he is what the people want and they were wrong. So we'll see which side wins, but I'm sure that that is going to be the take that they're going to try to make. Both sides will make their argument and we'll see what happens. And to that end, we have Lewis from the South Side on who wants to say what he thinks the effect will be of the impeachment. Welcome to Black and Right.
Good afternoon. This is what's known as a necessary evil. Mm-hmm. Okay. Trump, he needs to be impeached. And the reason why is so that the sympathy for the Republican Party, they can gain the House back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And with the House, once he, because it won't do him no good to win the presidency and he loses the House, because this all happened again next year, you know. And so that's why he needs to win the House back. And the only way he can do that, and he had already thought about this, is to be impeached, you know.
Oh, well, that's a good point of view. Thank you for your call. I mean, that's part of it for sure. I think that, like I just said, both sides are going to use it to their advantage. I don't know if he needed to be, but I know they're going to use it for that cause. But you made a really interesting point that I was thinking of the other day when you talked about not having the House and if he wins the objective. This is the other reason why they know it's a farce. So they impeached him, right? And immediately after, I guess he just got some kerfuffle about the dingle that the congressman who deceased, and you know, even some of his supporters said he shouldn't talk about ill of the dead or whatever. But that's not what I noticed. What I thought was funny is, so he's impeached, but he's not being removed from office, right? So the real reason they're impeaching him is because they don't like him. They think he's unpresidential and all that kind of stuff. So in his speech, he should go on and say, I might make this impeachment historic for another reason. They're obviously attacking me because they don't like me. So I might be the first sitting president to get reelected or stay in office and get impeached a second or third or fourth time, because they may just impeach me. Remember back, they wanted to impeach him because of the SO comments. They wanted to impeach him because of something else he did. So if they want to impeach him for everything like that, then why not impeach him now? He made some comment about a dead congressman. Let's impeach him again. You should just be like, keep impeaching me, and I'll just keep doing my job. So you're right about that. But I won't. But to what Lewis said, I will say the difference is, I disagree with him saying that. What good will it do him? I think he's got a lot more appointments to make if he wins again. Both Supreme Court and other. So that alone may be a reason for the GOP to want him to win, even if they don't get back the House. But he's right that both sides will try to use it for that. But time will tell how it plays out. There was a Democrat debate the other day, and I did find it interesting that, you know, after the debate, they want to talk about who the winners and losers are and talk about who gained traction. And the one I saw trending the most was Andrew Yang. And he was trending because of his response to impeachment. Apparently, there was a question about Trump and impeachment. Was it a good thing? Was it necessary? And to a person, they responded like they're supposed to. Yes, he's bad. Yes, he's bad. Yes, he's bad. And they went to him and he kind of took a different turn and said that it is time to move on and stop talking about that. We as Democrats have to be bigger than impeachment and bigger than Trump. He said that they are doing themselves a disservice, saying the more they talk about impeachment, it's the more they talk about Trump. And the more we talk about Trump, the more we lose, he said. He said there's a reason why Trump won and we're not addressing it. Powerful, honest stuff. But I didn't listen to it, so it'd be interesting to go back and listen to it and hear the response from the audience, because I can't imagine they cheered something like that, right? But he's right. So when we talk about how this will play out and who would gain the advantage from it, obviously it's all about how they play it, and it could go either way. But that was great insight to, you know, him giving a wake-up call saying, hey, if we play this wrong, we will lose again. And that's really important. I think he has a point. It's just a matter of whether they listen, which could help them, or whether the GOP plays it right, which would help them. But it's going to be interesting, but business is going on as usual. And coming up on the next segment, talking about business as usual, I'm going to talk about something that Trump is proposing that kind of makes sense, but will drive the left crazy. You're listening to Black and Right on AM 560, The Answer.
It's a travesty of a mockery of a sham, of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
Now, more of Black and Right on AM 560. Here are your hosts, Charles Love and John Anthony.
Welcome back to Black and Right. I am Charles. Again, John is off. I was going to move on, but there was one thing I wanted to say about the impeachment. I do have an odd take on it, though, that you don't hear much. It'd be interesting to see what people think of it. But I actually disagree with all three impeachments, all of them. I know Andrew Johnson was a while back, and people got to think about that. If I had to rank them of close of the in order of the closest to a reasonable impeachment, it would go Clinton. Oh, that's tough after that. Maybe. Yeah. Clinton, Trump, and then Andrew Johnson. Although I don't think any of them, because technically the only one who broke a law was Clinton, lying under oath. But come on, is what he was lying about a high crime? Cheated on my wife, I didn't want you to know, so I lied. I mean, really, we were going to remove him from office for that? You know, you set aside what your beliefs are. Next, we know Trump's call has been taken different ways. The problem with that is that if you're going to try somebody in the Senate, you have to take it, the call as the call is. You can't read into it what it meant, right? It's like, well, I think he meant this. The call said what it called. But Johnson's interesting. Well, I guess technically Johnson was illegal, but I'll get to why still he didn't break the law. So Johnson was impeached for removing somebody from his cabinet he wasn't supposed to remove, even though it was his appointment. And the guy was literally working against his administration. It would be as if Trump decided to be nice and keep Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. And then she was out in the open working against him. So he said, oh, you got to go. And they're like, well, it's against the law. You know, we got this little fine print that says you can't do that. And so we're going to impeach you for that. So granted, Johnson was a horrible president, but still, I think that was a really terrible reason to remove him. Yet it went to a trial in the Senate, and he was by the skin of his teeth stayed in office. It wasn't all one party, but anyway. And the funny thing about his is shortly after that little, you know, loophole they found to say that was against the law was found unconstitutional and removed. So now it was okay for him to remove his cabinet member. But we almost unseated a president because of that. So that's my take. I don't know if people are partisan or what they think about the Clinton and whatever, and if they even know enough about Johnson. But I think you're removing the president for a very, very serious offense, because we're giving our money to somebody that we probably shouldn't be giving the money to anyway. And he says, I'm not going to give it to you unless you do this. And you think he should be removed. Yet you think the leading candidate on the other side can still run, even though he got out in public and said the same thing. You're playing a game is what you're doing. Stop being a child. That being said, I saw in the news this week that Trump was still working. And I didn't hear anything from him or directly from the White House, but it was mentioned in credible sources, the regular news, AP, USA Today, that he is thinking about making the English language the official language of the country. So I was like, wow, let's see what people think about that. I think it's going to be interesting because, you know, it's been trotted out before and people scream and yell the crazy things, obviously on the left, so they only yell the same things about it. So I want this debate. I actually think it's a good thing, but I can't wait to see the debate. I want to see those very educated elitists on the left come out and spin into a pretzel, finding a way to call this racist, because it's what they do, right? They're going to call it racist and this is and that is. And hopefully, if I don't get to mention it to them or debate them, some fine, educated conservative on the other side will be able to tell them that, unfortunately, break the bad news to them. And I'll do it here to all the people who aren't on TV and in the media, but listen and think, yeah, that's wrong. That is racist. Give the left the bad news that most of those countries that they love so much, those left-leaning borderline socialist countries like Denmark and Norway and everything else, that they all have official languages. Canada, all of them, they have official languages. And quietly, we should whisper this, but most of them have official religions too. So while they want us to be more like Denmark and they want us to be more like Norway and all the Nordic states, do they know that those countries have official languages? So it'll be interesting. I know they're going to come out and say it's racist. I mean, I would love for someone to call here, 312-642-5600, and tell me what's wrong with us having an official language. But most of the people who'll say that are thinking emotionally. They don't know enough and study enough, so they don't know other countries have one. But if they do, you do tell them that, it'll just roll right off. And they'll just say, those countries shouldn't. But they'll never give you an actual reason why. So we should be tied to nothing but our fight to be divided and run into our separate corners from a political and racial and ethnic standpoint. But that's probably something that is going to have a long debate, and we'll have to see what that looks like. But I thought it was interesting, and I wanted to inform you all. You're listening to Black and Right on AM 560, The Answer.